This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
File attack point. Mavericks inbound.
It's Pod Maverick.
A Maverick.
Hosted by Kirk Henderson and Josh Bow.
And welcome back to Pod Maverick. This is an episode of Kirk Your Enthusiasm. You have heard entirely too much from me lately, but that's what happens when the Dallas Mavericks inexplicably jump from the 11th overall slot in the NBA lottery to number one. Today, I am joined by my longtime friend who I've never badgered effectively enough to come onto the show until today, J. Kyle Mann of The Ringer. Mr. Mann, how are you today?
I'm good. You know, I was thinking back about all the time. I said I owed you one. You rejected that. I mean, we've been having some kind of conversation. It's gone from, I mean, does the arc start at the beginning of the Luka era is when you start?
Pretty much, because I was very wrong very early on Jalen Brunson, and you never let go. And it started around year three of Jalen Brunson, where he really started to show who he was. And then, you know, that whole kerfuffle, and then the Mavericks just haven't had any interesting picks really up until, probably Lively, I guess, if we're honest, because the 2020 draft was a mess. And then they haven't had anybody worth me bothering you about given the amount of tape you consume and stuff that you have to do with your time. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff that I want to ask you. And part of why I just wanted to bring you on the show today is, so I think a lot of our fan base, the Mavericks fan base, people who pay attention to sports have to know who Cooper Flagg is, because, you know, potential number one overall pick, American born star, white guy who goes to Duke. If you don't know who Cooper Flagg is, at least tangentially as a basketball fan, then you've done a really good job not paying attention. And so what I wanted to sort of lead with today, and I'm going to link everyone, by the way, to some of, I want to talk about a couple of the things you've done in the last calendar year with Flagg. But what is the elevator pitch for Flagg to a fan who just doesn't know anything about him other than kind of, okay, he's good.
Oh man, it's hard to elevator pitch him because he is so, the range of things that he does is so wide. I would say he is, it's in this day and age, it's hard to find elite two-way players. He could be elite on both ends. Mm-hmm. The point that I made on our show and I've made elsewhere is, you know, Ben Taylor and I just through conversation came up with this system just of to sort of simplify what somebody's role on offense and defense is. So like the highest version of this is somebody who's an offensive primary and they're a defensive anchor, which doesn't really happen that often. LeBron at different points has been that. I mean, if you just go back through history, I mean,
kind of more big men historically, right?
Big guys often, Kareem, you know, that type of player, guys who just Hakeem at points wasn't that would be an O1D1. So if you're an offensive primary and the worst defensive player, you'd be an O1D5. So you can kind of go on from there. Cooper has a chance to be an O1D1. He has a chance to be the anchor of a defense and an offensive primary. He's, you know, his measurements came out. He's got sort of big forward size. The thing that's interesting about him is he started his high school career as, okay, this is an elite defensive disruptor, somebody who can make crazy out of area plays. If you go, his out of area defensive highlights were on the level of like Nerlens Noel, just absolutely bonkers.
He seemed to just appear in places. Yeah,
he would just materialize, like he could teleport. Yeah, and his ability to cover ground, he was so far ahead of high school competition on that front. That he could just go and gamble and wander and just. I think he averaged his block numbers in EYBL. I think in 2022 were just, it was like he got like 170 blocks in like something like 14 games or something crazy.
Can you give the context of what EYBL is to my viewership who probably just don't have enough experience? We just, because the Mavericks haven't had A, Americans, and B, draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I always think about at some point I want to make a video that's almost like the Game of Thrones, like landscape map to sort of like map out what, you know, the high schools and the big. Now, Cooper came from, I'll sort of chart a path here. Cooper came from a local small high school in Nokomis was the name of in Newport, Maine. And then so. Small school. I mean, and he moves from there, destroys as like an eighth grader and a ninth grader, goes down to Montverde early. So he's seeking out competition, ends up, wins at Montverde, is killing there. In the summers, though, he had this interesting balance going on where he was playing with Montverde with D1 players, lottery pick players, you know, high major quality talent around him and against him. And then and he was playing more of a role, sort of developing as a ball handler and a shooter. And then during the summers, he would play with the Elite Youth Basketball League, which is a Nike circuit. He had his own team. I've heard you mention that.
Is it the Maine event? Is that really what they were called?
Maine United was what
Maine they were United, called. Damn it.
But there was an event where Montverde came back to Maine, and I think they called it the Maine event.
That's what it was. Yes, I remember.
It's right there for the taking. But during the summers, and this is a normal thing, he would play with his brother, Ace, who I think is going to Maine, if I'm not mistaken. And they would just – Cooper was such a winning player that they would kick ass in EYBL too. It was pretty hilarious to watch. And that was where – and, you know, that's where the elite – you know, high school competition plays. There's a lot of weird kind of politics about who ends up playing for who. And it's hard to even keep track of what the rules are with that. But Cooper decided to play with his home state team, which is unusual. And they did really, really well. Every once in a while, they come up against like a boozer, you know, Knight Ride, as is a famous EY. If you're interested in that, go check it out. It's a fun thing to track as players are going. So, yeah. Yeah, and that was sort of his laboratory over the past couple of years, just to give people an idea. And I think this is important because if you want to get an idea of how special he is, you kind of look at what he is now, but I think it's really important to track his brain as a basketball player and how fast the software is being upgraded. The OS is updating onto the hardware, which he's a great athlete. You know, he has the great size, wide shoulders. I think he's going to get a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. He's a super quick jumper. A no-load jumper is what is there's a specific name for it. He doesn't have to load his knees to hit the top of his max vert. So that's why he jumps so fast. But yeah, he's made huge leaps as a ball handler and a shooter in the past 3 years.
So in the past 3 years, element of this is really important because he reclassified – because he is currently 18 years old, not turning 19 until December of 2025. Mm-hmm. And reclassification, if I understand it correctly, is like basically when a guy decides to move up a grade because he can based off of where he is in his birth year. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, I mean, you've dealt with this with your, we're kind of talking about this with my son now.
With
we're
our kids, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I got distracted by the chat there for a second. When I went to school, my mom kept me out a year, and we would always have this bickering argument because I was on the older side of my class, and it would just annoy me. You know, I was just always like, I'm the older one. You know, it's just, it feels lame. And she'd be like, you just weren't ready. And I don't think it was because it can be as simple as, you know, not writing, being able to, it's a lot of things. I mean, we're kind of having the same conversation with my son. So it can be 100, and it's way more normal now. But you'll see guys sometimes start a year late and then reclass to rejoin their original class. Mm-hmm. But what Cooper did is he just skipped. He was ready to go. And I don't know if Montverde academically was set him up to do that, but that's the main thing to keep in mind here, I think, for people who are curious about who he is that I would encourage, since it's looking like you guys are going to have him on your team, barring some wild circumstance.
Said on ESPN, and I'm talking within like the last 45 minutes, just said on ESPN that the Mavericks are selecting him with the number one pick.
Cool. Yeah. It'd be bizarre if they didn't, but I would encourage them to go and watch Cooper in 2021 and 2022 and just look at who he was as a shooter and a ball handler, because his leap has been incredible. I just think he has a mindset that is, I don't want to get corny and, you know, social cognitive world kind of thing with it, but he does have a growth mindset. It's not fixed at all. He has I wanted to point out too, over the course of this season, month by month, Cooper flags. I was worried about them burdening him with too much pick and roll action in the ACC and against high quality non-conference. His pick and roll reps went up steadily. They kind of flattened out at about in January and February at around four, somewhere between three and four. And his points per possession went up steadily month over month. So that's kind of an indicator that he figured out college basketball pretty quickly. So essentially we have the equivalent of the clever girl velociraptor type thing where he's just learning how to open doors with his claws every day. And yeah, man, he's just a wickedly focused player.
And the age thing and the developmental curve is something that's always fascinated me. When the Dallas Mavericks started towards their downward trend in the final Dirk years, and I had to start paying attention to prospects, one of the things that I was exceptionally worried about with Dennis Smith Jr. and really came to pass was the fact that two of his key developmental years, his senior year of high school and his freshman year at North Carolina State, were he was out 1 year with an injury, ACL, and then another year he went to a school that frankly wasn't a good match, is just what we can summarize it to say. So two key points in his cycle where he could have been learning and developing stopped entirely, and I think it ultimately is what resulted in him almost exiting out of the league. Now, he was such a talented and athletic player, he eventually found his way back in as a very specific role player. But I think that as basketball fans, particularly Mavericks fans that are not, you know, Luka was just such a special player that it kind of bends the curve of what is normal. And I think Flag is also someone along those lines, at least from what you're describing, because, you know, it sounds weird to say, okay, this guy is 18 years old. Go watch video of him when he was 14 and 15. That sounds weird, but it's important because that's where the leap has happened these last several years. Because I was talking with our mutual friend, Brian Schroeder, and he was telling me 3-4 years ago, he's like, this guy's just an all-world defender. And the fact that he's developed an offensive game is really fascinating to me. And I want to actually talk about that with you and where you see what you sort of see his potential role could be with the Mavericks after a quick ad break here. So guys, just hang tight. We will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to Pod Maverick. This is Kirk, your enthusiasm, with J. Kyle Mann from The Ringer. We are talking a little bit of Cooper Flagg, which is I'm getting more and more excited the more Kyle talks. And if you haven't hit the subscribe button, please do me a favor and do so. We have had a rough 5 or 6 months with all the and yeah, now's man. Hey, you want to hop back on? Now's the perfect time. No judgment from me. So we just sort of confirmed. I think there's just going to continue to be open questions about whether the Mavericks actually use this pick on Cooper Flagg. But for the sake of argument and for the sake of my sanity, I'm going to choose to believe that that's what they're going to do, because that's what makes the most logical sense. Understanding that, you talked about Ben Taylor of Thinking Basketball's like 01. What would you say? The
01D1.
01D. Yeah. So do you feel that Flagg really has that potential to be an offensive and defensive anchor? Is that in the cards for him at this point?
I think anchor is sort of a word. I mean, anchor, typically you think of that as the guy who's at the bottom of the defense and processing. He is an elite processor. I think some of that is driven by that he might be contained by his size a little bit. Obviously, playing next to AD, AD is going to be the anchor of that defense. AD is going to be the anchor of any defense, but sure. It's Flagg, I think, has probably just the chance to fit the bill of best defender on his team, and then also the best offensive player, whatever role that takes on. I think for him, we'll just talk about it offensively. I mean, if you look at him, and I wanted to add this on to the developmental thing that's important, I think. You mentioned Luka. There is an adaptability skill that is cultivated at an early age, and you can't really miss the opportunity to do that, because Luka, I know you guys know this ad nauseum, because he was stoked at the right moment. He never stagnated with the competition that he was playing. It was like he got good, immediately ran in the next competition. They were always ahead of it. There was a little bit ahead
to the
of
point
it.
To where I think it confused people. Like, people almost thought that the competition was worse because he kept whipping everybody's butt. And only there, it's not on television here, so no one wanted to. But there was just kind of a skepticism involved with Luka, where I think the skepticism for Flagg is much thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching, gosh, I think it was Hugo Gonzalez the other day for Real Madrid, who's a player in this draft, and I was just looking at his stats, and I was just like, anybody that downplayed what Luka was doing in the EuroLeague, it looks dumber. But it can't look much dumber than it did and it does now. But Cooper, just offensively, just getting to brass tacks, who he is. He's made a big shooting leap over the past couple of years. Like I said, he had like a funky kind of a set shot that didn't look totally clean. He has completely smoothed that out, where he has a smooth load up, energy transfer, release. He has soft touch. He's always kind of had this overhanded touch in like the 10-foot, like, little runners, just hooks. He got a lot of those at Duke. He still can just kind of compile those like junk buckets in the lane because he plays really physically. But as a dribble pull-up shooter, he's grown a whole lot. The big thing is there are these two islands that I always say of Cooper was a very good – if you look at the fact that he was a very good connective passer, which would show up whenever he was off the ball, whether it was Robert Wright, who played for Baylor. I know I'm just like talking up a storm right now. Sorry.
I love it. No.
He played with some guards at Montverde. Robert Wright, and then you know, there were these different guys who he was playing with, and he would come off of these pin downs, catch the ball in the middle of the floor, and make these quick decisions. He was a very good connective passer, and we continued to see that at Duke. And then you have on the other side, you're like, okay, he's developing as a dribble pull-up shooter. We know he can kind of get to the basket. The big connecting sort of bridge between those two things that is kind of reaching closer and closer is the fact that his handle is developing. Now, he's okay. Got a little ways. It's come a long way, but he's still – I think that's still the vulnerability for him. His brain is ready to do it. He just needs to make the ball handling leap, and he's capable of being a Jason Tatum type.
That's an interesting – and guys, when you hear the words Jason Tatum, I need you all to remember that Jason Tatum is a top 10 basketball player on the planet. Just no matter your opinions of him, just because he's not top three doesn't mean he's not amazing. Now, one thing, and I always hate to go back to the Luka thing, but it is interesting. When Luka was coming in, his left hand really was non-existent. That was kind of one of the only criticisms of him, is like, oh, he's so right hand dominant. Then the first game of the year, it was like, oh, he's just fixed this. And it sounds like to me, and I honestly didn't know this because I haven't paid enough attention because I don't like getting my hopes up. Like, why would I get my hopes up about Cooper Flagg? It feels like to me that he has the kind of uncanny ability in his developmental cycle right now to like identify problems or challenges that he needs to improve upon and then fix them. Is that a fair read?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. I mean, he's always going to be ahead of it. I think because he just has a singular focus, man. I mean, if you listen to him talk, he comes from a basketball family. I mean, yeah. Which is not uncommon.
His mother kills me. I love her.
She's hysterical. She coached. She was one of the coaches on his EYBL team. If you listen to interviews with her, I think I included this in one of the videos I made of him. I always forget what I included or didn't. But his mom and dad met in a rec league that she was playing in, and he also was playing in. His mom was a Division I player at Maine, and she actually played at Maine with Donovan Klingon's mom.
Oh, I remember reading this. Yeah. Yes,
and
that's a cool thing.
Yeah, so that was partly why I wondered if he might go to UConn, because they had that connection, and Klingon was always kind of a homebody, is what people said, and I was like, well, maybe Flagg will go there. But yeah, man, he runs problems down, and his mom is very fiery. His dad was like a 6'9" kind of, I think he might have been like a D3 player, but he's just kind of always had this. He has a fire to him. He doesn't really go mentally off the rails sometimes with the way that Luka would. Luka would get a little riled up and get carried away. I'm preaching to the choir with this. Yep. You know, just like, Luka, dude, what are you doing? Cooper doesn't really do that. Cooper has this measured sledgehammer of a temper that he can destroy you with, and then he's cool. So that's an interesting part about his personality too.
I'm gonna love that is because it's again, we've talked about our kids every now and again, but being able to show my 9-year-old like the difference between, it's just like, because Luke was kind of an unfortunate role model at times. It's like, that's a fun one. Just maybe a couple more things, and then I'll let you go back to your day. The Mavericks are in an interesting position. They have a much older team than people realize, with a couple of guys like poised to go secure a third contract, things like that. Their front court is a strength on paper, but is kind of almost a logjam. Within both an offensive defensive scheme, you know, you talked about defensively you can play on the perimeter. Offensively, is what's he best suited to, kind of in a 3-4-5 structure? Like what do you think he's going to be when he really settles in, you know, 3-4-5 years from now?
I think he's going to be some combination of this is the beautiful thing about it, is that he's going to be able to play off the ball like we were talking about. Okay. I think he's going to be able to play in those kind of Durant-ish pin down situations, because he can make those shots. He can elevate and hit those shots in the mid range. I don't know what his percentages will be, if he'll be able to justify shooting them at high volume. I think he'll be a catch and shoot guy. This is just going through the different modes that you could use him in. He also likes to attack from a standstill in the slot, like in his ISOs. Like he's getting pretty savvy with his no dribble, you know, selling fakes, creating space, getting to his jumper. He's a lob threat. The big question is just, how much is he going to be able to facilitate facing the basket with a live dribble, you know, because Tatum Tatum was a. I want to make this clear. You were talking about, you know, people are like, well, Jason Tatum. I don't, you know, do we want that? Is that what we're getting at number one? Tatum was ahead of him in terms of wiggle with the ball in his hands and handle. But Cooper's processing brain is ahead of where Jason was at this.
I could see that particularly with the passing, because Tatum, and I don't mean to, and I hope he's okay. Well, I don't. We still haven't heard any injury news about the poor guy, but Tatum kind of, the comps always drove me crazy last year in the playoffs. Like, oh, Tatum's making great reads. It's like, spread the ball, drive to the lane, pass the open guy. Like, this isn't rocket science. This is basketball one-on-one. It's good to be able to make the obvious read, but some of the stuff I saw from Flag looked to be a little bit next level in comparison. So that's very exciting for what I'm interested in watching.
Tatum was doing the C2 thing. You know, you always hear people talk about just it seems so simple, man, but it's like these guys who grew up scoring, they just don't always.
Yes.
They're so used to hitting every nail with this hammer that they have, solving every problem, especially true of guys who are just physical bullies. And Tatum just got to the point where he could, you know, he could. Paolo had a little bit of this too, which Paolo was ahead of him as a passer too. But it's just a tricky thing to learn. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Tatum was just getting to the point where it's just like, make the basic C2 read. Of course, there's the last thing I'll add on this. I'll tweet this at some point, but at one point I was trying to figure out how to discern the different levels of this. And so I made up something called the pick and roll pyramid, which is basically the idea that the first level is I can score out of a ball screen. The second level is I can score or I can make a play for the guy. It's kind of the playing 2-on-2. You master playing 2-on-2. Then you get so good at 2-on-2, you move on to the third level, which is not only can I play 2-on-2 so well that I make the right read every time, you're going to be sending help to stop me, and I know how to manipulate that too. And Luka's on that level. Very few. Harden's on that level. It's reserved for the best of the best. Cooper is somewhere in the like low level two. He can play the 2-on-2 game. He hasn't quite graduated to the manipulating, but I wouldn't rule it out for him. I really wouldn't.
That's fascinating. This is more just me soliloquizing, so I apologize. But the Mavericks have some real choices ahead of them, because I've been talking about this all morning and I'm already pissing off Mavs fans. The Cooper Flag, when they draft him, it puts them over the first apron. Now, I hate the fact that we have to be accountants on top of being basketball fans, but it's just part of the game. And so as a result, they're going to have some choices to make. And I'm listening to you puts me firmly in the position that what the Mavericks need to do, because they don't own or have control of their picks from 2027 to 2030, is I think they need to really consider a teardown. And starting over. So we'll see where they go from here, because if Flag is an actual centerpiece, like you're talking about, on both sides of the ball, that really changes the math of what they could be capable of doing. And really the Western Conference is such a knife fight right now that I think it's not really fair to judge the team. Like I'm very frustrated with our fans. Like, oh, the Mavericks are going to be good next year. I'm like, I think they could be good, of course, with Flag, but currently their starting point guard is Jaden Hardy. So I'm not sure how good they're going to be with that level of thing. So they have some, you know, building, you know, we just watched this. McMahon wrote a book about it with Luka, building around a superstar. The superstar, getting the superstar, is the hard part. And I think that as we're talking about here, Flag has the ability to be a superstar. From there, the path doesn't necessarily get easier, but it does get more clear, because you have, and so as the Mavericks figure something out, I'm just going to be, they have a lot of options. You know, they could move PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively still on his rookie deal. Anthony Davis is starting the first year of a 3-year deal worth $186 million. Like they have some, whereas before it was looking bleak and sad, now it is looking trepidatious, but there's real opportunities for improvement. And so you've kind of given me a lot of interesting insight. There's some, I'm going to let you go here in a second, but you did a couple of Flag centric pieces, which I'm going to link to in the notes of the show. So if you're listening on the audio stream, look for that. And then it'll also be in the notes of the video as well. You did a 14 long midi video with it topped 150,000 views, man. The Cooper Flag is Running Towards the Grind video that you did way back in September. This thing is really cool, guys. You're going to be love seeing it, particularly if you followed Flag at all this year. And then back in February, you did a piece called Cooper Flag Isn't Your Typical future number one overall pick. I'm sure some of these things like hit on the same points of what we've talked about, but guys, here's the thing I like about the draft. I like reading the same things over and over again and reinforcing my opinion. That's really fun. For confirmation bias when there's no real basketball happening, for at least for the Mavericks fans, is fun. Do you have anything you want to promote before you get out of Dodge?
I would tack one more thing on the flight conversation.
Sure.
I talked about what his offensive ceiling is and things like that, and I think it's important to remember that this is the great thing about Flag is that he does have these many avenues to, you know, I think the line actually ended up getting cut, but I liked it. There's a Rand McNally's worth of roads to success with, which is a great joke. Come on now. It's a typical corny shit I say. There are a lot of paths to success with him because of the different ways that he can play, and I describe those. It's a wide and high floor. He might not get to those tippy-top places that we were talking about, but the good thing is that's okay because if he's not an offensive primary, a dominant one, I lean more towards he's going to be a very, very good offensive player, sort of a Pippen-ish type player is who I've compared him to. Okay. I think he's going to be that type of switchable Swiss Army tool. Because people forget Pippen had that 94 season where he toggled over to the primary spot and almost won MVP. So it's that type of – he just happened to – we're talking about the highest level of a championship team. He might be best suited to support an offensive superstar, but he's a winner, man. I mean, I have him in that AD and Chet were two guys that had similar kind of qualities to me. Mm-hmm. Who had kind of questions about their offense, but their elite defensive processors and things like that. He's a special player. He's really good. And check out the Ringer NBA Draft Guide mock draft, our Ringer NBA Draft podcast. And those are the things. Yeah, and watch the videos, please.
A lot of good stuff. Your colleague Danny Chow is who you've done a show with this morning that I haven't heard yet because I just noticed it on my feed. Really looking forward to that. He wrote a piece last night which like had my wife like she was like reading parts of it out loud. We are so blessed to have Danny back in the basketball fold. I know he loves writing about food, but I really love writing him about prospects. He wouldn't remember this, but I met him in Las Vegas several years ago after one of my discs had ruptured and I was like lying on the floor in the media room like quasi sobbing to myself, and he came over to check on me because he was like, "What is this man doing lying on the ground?" That's how I met Danny Chow. Kyle, great stuff. This has been an excellent use of part of my afternoon. My boss has called me twice, so I'm going to probably return his calls now. We can find all your stuff at The Ringer on the various podcast feeds, YouTube feeds. You do great work. I can't recommend it enough. And guys, check the show notes for these links that we're talking about. Everybody, thank you so much and have a great day. Appreciate you, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.